Okay, let's face it. Not all Christmas gifts are created equal. I mean, some people look at gift wrapping as a work of art, while others take a more abstract approach. I mean, you have your gifts that are more for the giver than the receiver. Yeah. You've got your gifts that have, size issues. Then those that have, date issues. Then you have gifts that just don't match anything. Or just don't even match. Sometimes I get one of those presents that just really isn't my style. Groovy. But then, oh yeah, once in a while, I get one that's just right. But then, there's that one gift that comes every Christmas. It isn't as easily recognizable as the other presents. It gets lost in the color and frenzy of Christmas Day. I mean, while other presents are just torn apart, this one just kind of sits alone and still. Sometimes I forget to open it altogether, really only remembering it after Christmas Day has already passed. Sometimes I just, you know, kind of take a peek and then set it aside with plans of opening it later. But deep down inside, and in spite of what I do with it, I know that this is the most important gift of them all.
Well, we've all received some gifts we'd like to return, right? Where we've received some great gifts, too. I was reminded recently of my one of my favorite Christmas mornings was when I was 10 years old and I received my first almost real drum kit. I'll show you a picture of that Christmas morning here. I think this is around 1982. And I know you won't laugh or make fun of me because you have pictures of yourself when you were this young too, right? And we won't even talk about your wedding pictures, okay? Interestingly, we look at the Star Wars bed sheets. I think those are from the previous Christmas. Wish I still had those, you know. They could have been worth some money someday. Notice the Incredible Hulk pajamas. And then, of course, you can see by my hair, I was already setting myself. I was working on getting into an 80s hairband. I was going to get there. I just needed a little more mousse and hairspray. And then I have to give you this disclaimer. When you see my eyes, please know, as God is my witness, I was on no controlled or illegal substances, okay? The only thing I was addicted to back then was Ready Whip and sugar cookies. So here's why this kit was one of the best gifts I ever received. First of all, it met the need of the receiver. At that age, I had great plans. I was going to start a band and tour the country just like my favorite bands did back then. And I, of course, needed an elegant piece of equipment that I could play that made beautiful sounds, of course. And so that was important. And then here's another reason that gift was awesome was it expressed the heart of the giver. I mean, how much do you have to love your child, especially your son, with testosterone running through his veins to give him a drum kit, okay, in a small house? In fact, I was remembering recently how just a few days after I received this kit, I played the drums one evening after 7 o'clock while my mom was trying to watch one of her favorite TV shows like Dallas or Dynasty or something. But anyway, that was the last time I played after 7 o'clock because then a curfew got put in place where you can't play before 10 a.m. and you can't play after 7. So curfew for the drums. And then here's another reason why it was a great gift. Besides, it met a need that I had. It expressed the heart of the giver and how much my mom loved me. But also, it exceeded my expectations. You see, that year I got the JCPenney Christmas catalog, and I started building my list of things. This is what we did in my family. We would have to write down our Christmas list and what we wanted. And then you turn it in, and you might get some things off your list, and you might get some other things that weren't on your list. Well, I was pretty strategic back then. I know the staff will appreciate this about me. I would tier my list. I had tier one gifts that were slam dunk, this is easy, mom can afford this, okay? And then there were the kind of the tier two gifts that, you know, this is a stretch, but, it would be good to get this. And then I would have like those tier three gifts that, this is over the top. I mean, this is, if I got it, it'd be leaving me speechless on Christmas morning, but you know, if I don't get it, I understand, you know, times are tough and so on and so forth. So the drum kit was one of those tier three gifts. And when I got it, of course, I was overjoyed and thrilled, and it led to me being in the ministry. So, no, that's there's no CDs or anything that were recorded, praise the Lord. But, you know, Christmas, as Mark said earlier, exists. We celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Christ because God gave his son as a gift, a perfect gift for us to enjoy. And we do the gift, the tradition of exchanging gifts, as a way to remember the generosity of the Lord. And I just wanted to spend a few minutes here this morning, this afternoon, talking about why Jesus was the perfect gift, even better than that drum kit that I got. And here's the first reason. Jesus meets the need of the receiver. Just like that drum kit met my need that I had to bang on something as a young 10-year-old boy, Jesus meets the need of us, our need, our greatest need. You see, I know we're all different in this room. We all come from different backgrounds. We're all born in different cities. But there's one thing, at least one thing we share in common, and that is we all need to be forgiven because we're all sinners. And the scriptures talk about that. The Bible says that all of mankind is sinful. God's made it clear that we're born sinners. In fact, we see this in Romans 3:23, where it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, we all, when we are born into this world, we lie, cheat, steal, do selfish things, say hurtful things to people we shouldn't say. We do deceptive things, and I could go on and on and on. But we all have made choices and mistakes and things that we're not proud of, that the Bible calls sin. Well, this is a problem because God is holy. God is without sin. He is pure. In fact, because he's holy and pure, he has to punish sin. And so mankind was given a sentence by God here on earth to have a limited time of life that we live, a number of years that we live. And so we see this in Romans 6:23, where it says the wages of sin is death. We are sentenced to death because we are sinners. Now, God can't allow sin to be in his presence, and so nobody can get to heaven without God's help because his holiness can't have sin in its presence. Now, this is why the Lord sent Jesus, because in the Christmas story, and as Nicole read earlier, we see in Matthew 1:21 that Mary was to bear a son, and that you should call, and the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is why Jesus came to be born in a manger, to save us from our sins. In fact, in his name itself, the name Jesus is a reminder of what his purpose was, because the name itself, Jesus, means Yahweh saves. Yahweh, one of the many Old Testament names for God that we see in the scriptures. And so, Jesus is the perfect gift because he provides a way to get to the Heavenly Father when we couldn't provide our own way. He provides that way for us. He meets the greatest need that we have, and that's the need to be forgiven. Here's another reason why Jesus was the perfect gift, and that is that Jesus expresses the heart of the giver. You know as well as I do that a great gift communicates how much you love that person and how thoughtful you are. Well, Jesus does that by conveying how much God loves us. God loves us not on our terms, but on his, and he loves us better than we can love ourselves, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows exactly what we need. And we see this in John 3:16. This is a popular verse that you probably have seen hanging up and behind the goalpost at football games on the banner. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the baby Jesus was born in a manger so he could grow up to die on the cross for you and for me, so that we could have salvation and forgiveness for our sins. And he did this when we weren't at our best. The scriptures talk about this as well. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul says that God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, we were still at our worst, but Christ died for us. Christ died to be a sacrifice for us on the cross. Well, here's another thing that we learn about Jesus as a perfect gift, and that is that it reveals that God wants a relationship with us, that he wants to love us, even though he's holy and our sin separates us from God, God's not satisfied with that. And so by sending Christ to be born in the manger, to grow up and die on the cross for us, he's conveying that he wants a relationship with us. We see this in John 14, verse 23. Jesus, during his ministry, said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." See, Jesus is the perfect gift for us because he expresses the heart of the giver, and the giver was God. For God so loved the world. Well, here's the third reason Jesus is the perfect gift, and that is that Jesus exceeds expectations. You see, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, it means you no longer have to bear the weight of your own sin and the guilt that comes with that. You no longer have to sin, period. You have the power, once you know Christ, to say no to some of those terrible sins you've been trying to stop doing for a long time that you just hate that you do. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have the joy of having peace with a holy God and having a relationship with him to where you don't have to fear his wrath, but instead you can count on his blessing because he loves you and cares for you. And another benefit of knowing Christ is that you go from having no plan for your life or things seeming chaotic to a purpose and a plan. For those that know Christ as their Savior, the Lord unravels and unpacks and reveals that he has a plan for you, to use you and to bless you, to do great things for him. You see, Jesus not only provided salvation for us, but he wants to give us a better life here on earth. We see this in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." See, he doesn't want to just help you get to heaven. He wants to have you give you a better life here on this earth as well. So I say all that to say, have you received the perfect gift? Because there's nothing worse that I know of at Christmas time than seeing an unwrapped gift under the Christmas tree, right? Well, have you unwrapped the perfect gift of Jesus Christ? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? If you're here today or you're in the community center and you're hearing this little talk that I'm giving and you've seen the songs and God's been working in your life, and he's been showing you that you can't make it to heaven on your own. And maybe he's been showing you, you need help now. And you're in a mess maybe that you don't know how to get out of, but the Lord can help you get out of it. Well, I just want to tell you that there's four simple things you just have to do to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the first one. You need to agree. You need to agree with God that you're a sinner that needs to be saved, that you can't save yourself, that you can't help yourself, and that you need him. Secondly, you need to repent of your sins. Repentance is a term used in the scripture to describe a turnaround, a change of the mind and the heart, because the scriptures describe us as coming into this world sort of headed this direction here, where we are pursuing our own desires and our own sin with our back to God. But repentance is turning around and going back to God, forsaking my sin, saying, "I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live for me anymore because it's not paying off and it's not helping me. Instead, I'm going to turn and go after God and pursue him." That's repentance. The scriptures say you need to agree with God that you're a sinner, and then you need to repent of your sin. I love this verse in Acts 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come to your soul." It's such a great verse because it talks about how relieving or refreshing repentance can be. Because you get all that junk off your chest and you forsake it. It's not good for me. It's not good for the people around me. And instead, turn and follow the one that loves you and cares for you and has a plan for your life. Well, here's the third thing you need to do if you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is you need to believe. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then was resurrected 3 days later, conquering death so we wouldn't have to face death anymore. It says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you need to agree that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and believe what Jesus did was for real, that he died on the cross and was resurrected. And then here's the last thing. You need to surrender your heart and follow him. And follow him. Make him Lord of your life. And the scriptures are so clear that if you do those four things, you will have peace with God and forgiveness and joy and eternal life. Don't worry, no matter what happens to you here on this earth, you can have the confidence of knowing, I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord someday. I don't need to fear death anymore. I don't need to fear how my life's going to turn out. I just need to follow him and trust him because I know it's going to be great when I'm with him someday. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that the angels proclaimed in the Christmas story. That's the good news of why it's so significant that Jesus came as a baby and was born in the manger, because he offered his life up as a sacrifice for our sins so we wouldn't have to die for our own sin. And so with that, we want to give you an opportunity today. If you're here visiting or you've been coming to our church for a while, and maybe you haven't made a commitment to follow Christ yet, you haven't taken that step of faith to give your heart to him and really just nail this thing down so you can be sure where you're going to spend eternity. Well, we want to make sure you have that opportunity today. And so with that, I'd like to ask that every head be bowed and eye closed as we close in prayer. And for those of you where the Lord has been working on your heart and he's working in your life and you desire to give your life to Christ, you need to do it simply by doing the four things I talked about in a simple prayer. We call it the sinner's prayer, and it goes like this. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sin. I can't live any longer without you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you were resurrected 3 days later. And thank you, Jesus, that you want a relationship with me. Jesus, would you come into my heart and change my life and show me how to walk with you, because I want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that because of what you did for me on the cross, that I can have eternal life and forgiveness as a gift from you. And if you pray that prayer from the bottom of your heart with total sincerity, I just want to tell you that you can be sure that your name is written in the book of life today. And with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to ask for those that do know Christ that are in the room, those of you that have been redeemed, I just want to ask you to continue praying as we have this time of invitation. I want to ask that you would be praying and asking the Spirit to move. And for those of you that maybe made that decision today to ask Christ into your heart, would you just lift up your hand? Nobody's looking. Would you just lift up your hand and let us know so that I can pray for you? Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. So all we're asking you to do is, if you made that decision, to raise your hand in a dark room on Christmas Eve and let us know. I prayed that prayer, Pastor Carey. I asked Jesus into my heart today. Go ahead and raise them. I want to continue praying as well. Father, for those that have raised their hands, I just praise you, God, that there's angels rejoicing in heaven. We know that Jesus said in Luke 15 that when a sinner repents, there's rejoicing. The worship in heaven stops. Lord, I praise you for that. Father, I just praise you for being so gracious and merciful to us, loving us while we were still yet sinners, and sending your son to die. We can't praise you enough for that. And Lord, for those that are here today that maybe they've made that decision but they're not in a church home, I just want to ask that, Lord, you might lead them to a church home and help them to make walking with you a priority in their life in 2013. Father, would you stir in their heart and help them see and convict them and just help them to see that they need to walk with you and make you a priority. And Father, for those that are here today that are discouraged, frustrated, maybe not experiencing the joy of Christmas, God, would you just show them how much you love them? Would you bless them and show them in tangible ways this week that you're with them, that you care, and that you are working in their lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I just want to encourage you that if you prayed that prayer where you asked Christ into your heart, please let somebody know. Please tell one of our staff members or our ushers after the service. We would love to pray with you or answer questions you have. I also want to encourage you to come back and see us again this Sunday. We would love to help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things we like to do here at River Lakes on Christmas is we like to celebrate Christmas with a time of communion. Communion is a time where we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. And so the bread that you see on the tables around the room here represents the body of Christ that was broken for us on the cross. And then the juice in the cup represents the blood of Christ that was shed for us, because the scripture says in the scripture several times that there has to be blood shed in order for sins to be forgiven. And Jesus shed his blood for us. And so what we're going to do is, as the worship team starts to play in the next song, we're going to give you some time where you can come up with your family to one of the tables around the room, and you can pick up the bread and the cup. And you can either partake here at the table if you'd like, and then leave your cup back in the tray, or you can take it back to your seat if you'd like. You can do either or. But we want you to remember that Christ died for you. We want you to remember how much he loves you and what he's done for you. Now, if you're here today and you know Christ, but you're not a member of this church, that's okay. You're certainly welcome to take part in this with us. You don't have to be a member or an attender here. But if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, we simply would ask that you stay at your seat and use this time for some private prayer and silent reflection. And so with that, let me pray for the bread and the cup, and then we'll let you start coming up to one of the tables, either here in the front, and there's two in the back on both in both corners. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving Jesus' body to be broken for us. We praise you for that. And Lord, thank you for the blood in the cup. Thank you, Lord, that the juice in the cup represents the blood of Christ shed for us so that we could have cleansing from our sins. We praise you. Father, there's nothing we could do to repay you for such a priceless gift. But we hope, Lord, that our worship today and our remembering this sacrifice through communion might be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.